Hello, I'm Dagna, your reader for this next hour. It is now time to turn to today's obituaries in the Des Moines Register. Wayne E. Anderson, 84, left his earthly life Thursday, November 26, at home after fighting a courageous battle with cancer. Wayne was born on May 23, 1936, in Red Oak, Iowa, to Frank and Lillian Anderson. 6 weeks after his birth, his mother passed away. His father, having two younger sons, was unable to care for a baby during the Great Depression, and Wayne went to live with his uncle and aunt, Albert and Mary Anderson, and cousin Eugene, who was like a brother to him. Frank later left farming and moved to Colorado with his two older brothers. As a young man, Wayne enjoyed life on the farm, hunting, trapping, and showing cattle with the 4-H organization. He attended school at Strahan, where he was active with baseball and basketball, even playing with a basketball town team in several states. Wayne attended college at Tarkio, Missouri, and Iowa State. He married Mary Jo Hathaway in 1957, and with this union, they had three children, Kathy, Kevin, and Karen. They later divorced. Wayne married Gloria in 1979 and enjoyed life together with their larger family and extended family through church and travels. Family holiday dinners, picnics, campings, traveling, attending grandchildren's activities, volunteering, the Scandinavian Club, and last but not least, Drake basketball games kept them very active. Wayne worked with the Iowa Highway Commission as State Inspector of Road Construction for 14 years, building Interstate 80 from Des Moines to Cheyenne, Wyoming, where they lived for 2 years. He then went on to work for Penn-Dixie as Maintenance Supervisor for 8 years to move into his last job at American National Can as Department Manager for 25 years. Anyone who knew Wayne knew he didn't know a stranger. He enjoyed being around people and cherished his children and grandchildren, often showing them his magic tricks. As a woodcrafter, he made many items for family and friends and enjoyed sharing his talents at church and with Child Serve, where he volunteered. Special thanks to Dr. Hyatt, Dr. Gupta, Dr. Burt, and staffs, and the team at the Ambulatory Infusion Center at Mercy Medical Center and Kindred Hospice. Private family services will be held at 11 a.m. Wednesday, December 2nd at Aldersgate United Methodist Church, with burial to follow in McDivitt Grove Cemetery in Urbandale. A live stream of Wayne's service will be available to everyone at Isles Westover Chapel. Bill Thiessen died from COVID-19 on November 22nd. We want to thank the nurses, doctors, and medical staff who cared for him at Lutheran Hospital. Bill was born in Waterloo in 1938 to William and Angela Thiessen. He was fortunate to be connected to many caregivers in his childhood, including grandparents, aunts, uncles, as well as the nuns and priests from 1944 until his graduation from Loras College in 1960. After graduating from college, Bill married Bonnie, and the couple moved to Chicago, where Bill began his social work career as a welfare worker on the west side of the city. In 1967, the family moved to St. Louis, where Bill completed his master's in social work at Washington University and was accepted as a PhD candidate. After attaining his doctorate, the family moved to Waverly, where Bill taught social work at Wartburg College. In 1975, Bill accepted a position with the University of Iowa School of Social Work at the Des Moines Center, and the family moved to Des Moines. During those years, Bill had the opportunity to travel to England, Poland, Russia, China, and Italy, where he discussed child welfare, poverty, and policy with international social workers. Social work was his lifelong passion, along with being Bonnie's husband and best friend, raising their children and being there for his grandchildren. Bill was proud to have met his goal of raising independent, thoughtful, ethical, and self-directed children and grandchildren, all of whom he considers to be his legacy to build a better world. Hopefully, if we all continue to wear our masks and wash our hands, there will be a memorial in the spring. John Leetle, 90, of Des Moines, currently residing at the Iowa Veteran Home in Marshalltown, passed away on Sunday, November 22nd, at Iowa Methodist Hospital in Des Moines. John Baptist Leetle was born in Des Moines on October 14, 1930. He was a son of Ignazio and Josephine Leetle. He attended school in the Des Moines schools and graduated in 1948. John served his country honorably in the United States Marine Corps from 1948 until 1953. He was united in marriage to Patricia Ann Langer at St. Anthony's Catholic Church in Des Moines, and they made their home and raised their family in Des Moines. He had worked at Firestone for 30-plus years. He was a member of the Knights of Columbus, VFW, and the American Legion. John was a tinkerer. He could fix anything, including cars, a master of all trades. Graveside services will be held on Saturday, December 5th at Sunset Memorial Gardens in Des Moines. Due to the pandemic, masks and social distancing will be required. James Jim Eugene Garrison, 95, passed away November 25th. He was from Johnston. Jim, the oldest of six children, was born to James E. and Grace Hart Garrison in Waverly, Illinois. The Garrison family lived in Hammond, Indiana, Lansing, Illinois, and Burlington, Iowa before Jim settled in Johnstown, Iowa. He was married to Eunice Hartman, who preceded him in death in 2013, and they had nine children. In 2015, he was united in marriage to Rosemary Pence Weber. Jim was called to serve in 1943 in the U.S. Army in World War II as a first scout of a rifle platoon with the 24th Infantry Division. He was very proud of his military service. He received the following commendations: Silver Star, Bronze Star, Purple Heart, World War II Victory Medal, American Campaign Medal, Asiatic Pacific Campaign Medal with Bronze Arrowhead and Bronze Star, Philippine Liberation Medal, and the Army Good Conduct Medal. He was part of the amphibious land invasion on Mindanao Island, Philippines, where he was wounded when a mortar shell exploded by him. Jim and his family joined the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in 1952. He helped build the chapel on Ashworth Road in West Des Moines, where he served as a bishop for many years. Jim worked for John Deere as a mechanical engineer and retired after 29 years. A private family funeral service for Jim will be held at 11 a.m. Saturday, December 5th, at the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, West Des Moines. For those unable to attend, this service will be live streamed it's a Zoom address. Interment will follow the service at West Haven Cemetery. Please visit www.islescares.com. to leave condolences and find out more about the Zoom for the service. Ames. On Monday, November 23rd, Jeanette Renee Kirsch, loving wife and mother of two children, passed away at the age of 52. Jeanette was born November 29, 1967 in Ames. She is the daughter of Don and Karen Jordanson of Johnston, and daughter-in-law of Gordy Kirsch and wife Jean, mother-in-law Denise Fox and husband Joel. Jeanette united in marriage to Daniel Kirsch on May 23, 2016 in Las Vegas. She is the mother of two wonderful sons, Jeremy Kaler and wife Gina of Boone and Jackson Hall of Ames. She is also a stepmom to Christina Kirsch and fiance Casey, Shelby Zabidsky and husband Michael, and Austin Kirsch and special friend Caitlin Cooper, all of Pennsylvania. Jeanette is a loving grandmother to two grandsons and step-grandmother to three. Jeanette graduated Ames High School in 1986. She received her associate degree from Des Moines Area Community College in Hotel Restaurant Management. Jeanette had the opportunity to live in several states, to include Arkansas, Iowa, Nebraska, Pennsylvania, and South Dakota, but she called Ames, Iowa her home while always remaining an Iowa State Cyclone fan. Jeanette was independent, a warrior, fun-spirited, and sassy. She loved music, playing cards, baking, and her dogs. She cherished her time with Dan, her children Jeremy and Jackson, and grandson Sterling and Tripp. Jeanette will be deeply missed by all who knew and loved her. Jeanette's visitation will be held Monday, November 30th at Stevens Memorial Chapel in Ames from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Funeral service will immediately follow for close family, with Craig Jordanson officiating. Jeanette will be laid to rest at West Lawn Cemetery in Lehi, Iowa. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be given to the Jeanette Kirsch Memorial Fund or the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation. Please mail memorials to Stevens Memorial Chapel in Ames, or you may donate online for the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation. Des Moines. Orville D. Cox, 97, went to be with the Lord on November 24th. Orville was born February. I'm sorry, the computer went out on me, so let me start that one over again. Des Moines. Orville D. Cox, 97, went to be with the Lord on November 24th. Orville was born February 3rd, 1923, in Des Moines, to D. and Violet Cox. He served in the U.S. Army Air Corps during World War II, where he flew 51 missions over Europe. Orville was a sought-after tool and die maker, working for and managing several companies. He was a lifelong member of Grace Baptist Church. Orville enjoyed attending grandkids' events, the Chicago Cubs, spending winters in Texas, listening to bluegrass music, and soaking up the sunshine. Private service will be held. Orville will be laid to rest with military honors at Sunset Memorial Gardens Cemetery. Memorial contributions may be directed to Grace Baptist Church. Des Moines. Leonard Joseph Fakaluroa, 74, passed away unexpectedly on November 21st at his home. Leonard was born May 15, 1946, in Des Moines, to Joseph Victor and Rose Teresa Fakaluroa. Leonard was a beloved husband, father, and papa. He left a lifelong impression with his family that they will never forget. He was a lifelong Chicago Bears and Iowa Hawkeyes fan. He loved animals, especially his cats, Juliet and Midnight. He was an avid donator to the St. Jude's Children's Hospital. The family will greet friends from 5 to 7 p.m. with a vigil service at 6:30 on Wednesday, December 2nd at Hamilton Southtown Funeral Home. Mass of Christian burial will be held at 10:30 a.m. Thursday, December 3rd at St. Anthony Catholic Church, followed by burial at Glendale Cemetery. Memorial contributions may be directed to the family in loving memory of Leonard. Waukee. Gary L. Estridge, 65, died peacefully at home, surrounded by his loving family on November 24th. Gary, one of four siblings, was born on August 31st, 1955, to James Estridge and Wilma Estridge. He graduated from Southeast Polk High School in 1973. He worked at FedEx in Des Moines as a dispatcher and retired in 2016 after 40 years. Gary met his wife, Gracia, in 1992 at the Iowa State Fair. Gary loved traveling, with Hawaii being one of his favorites. He loved the beach, the ocean, sunsets, ice cream, NASCAR, reading, and relaxing in his own backyard. He was so proud of his watch collection from FedEx. Gary loved to joke and make people laugh with his quick wit and sense of humor. His laugh filled the room and was contagious. Private graveside services will be held at the Waukee Cemetery with a celebration of life to be held at a later date. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be directed to the family to be sent to numerous charities. Grimes. Lois Porath died peacefully in her sleep on November 24th at Mercy Hospital in Des Moines. Lois was born February 4, 1935 in rural Alta, Iowa, to Anton and Viola Carlson. She was the youngest of four children, including Daryl, Dwayne, and Dale. She graduated from Alta High School in 1953 and married Dean Porath on February 21, 1954. They were blessed with three children. Lois and Dean resided in Ames for several decades. They also spent summers at Lake Panorama until retirement, when they lived at the lake year-round. A celebration of life will be held Monday, November 30th at 3 p.m. at Merle Hay Funeral Home in Des Moines. The celebration of life will be live streamed. Go to merlehayfuneralhome.com for the link. In lieu of flowers, please make contribution in Lois's name to Friends of Lake Panorama, P.O. Box 488, Panora, Iowa 50216. Ankeny. Jean Marie Young Hull, 74, passed away at Mercy One Medical Center on November 23rd. At this time, private memorial services are pending. To view a full obit or sign an online condolence, visit website at www.overtonfunerals.com. Urbandale. Dean Killer Osborne died of COVID on November 18th. There will be no services at this time. Jesse James, a very close friend, wrote on Instagram, "He was such a real friend through good and bad times and is greatly saddened he will no longer be able to talk to him. He will be missed. Rest in peace." Manson. Phyllis Post, 94, died at Mercy Medical Center in Des Moines on Monday, November 23rd. Funeral services will be held on Saturday, December 5th at 2 p.m. at Faith Community Church, Rural Palmer, with the doors of the church opening at 1 p.m. Masks and social distancing are recommended for all in attendance. Live streaming will be available at faithccpalmer.org. Our next one is Marlene S. DeLisi, and it only says private family service, interment, resurrection, cemetery memorials are suggested to Monroe Meyer Institute. Arrangements by Hiffy Hoffman Dwork Cutler. Okay. And our next one, Des Moines. James D. Garnett passed away on Sunday, November 22nd of COVID-19 at the age of 92 at Wesley Acres in Des Moines. James was born August 21st, 1928, to Jimmy and Laura Dingman Garnett in Afton, Iowa. He graduated from Winterset High School with the class of 1945. James worked at Iowa Power and Light until his retirement. He was united in marriage to Bonnie Erickson in 1949, and they were blessed with three children. James enjoyed traveling in his RV, visiting national parks, and managed to see 49 states, mostly with his second wife of 51 years, Gladys. He also enjoyed his ham radios, working on his tree farm, and his cats, but his most prized possession was probably his 1948 Harley-Davidson, which he restored to factory condition and owned for 72 years. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, there will be no services at this time. A family memorial service will take place at a later date. Des Moines. Kenneth Wesley Langer, age 100, died at Scottish Rite Park, Des Moines, Iowa, on November 26. Ken was born the son of Ed and Alma Langer of Denison, November 20, 1920. He graduated from Denison High School in 1938 and was Iowa State FFA president 1939 to 1940, during which time he won the American Farmer Award. In 1942, after graduating from Iowa State University in agriculture economics, he enlisted in the United States Army at Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. Following his honorable discharge from the Army, Ken became a staff member of the Iowa Farm Bureau Federation in Des Moines for 40 years. This tenure was interrupted 1 year. Ken earned his master's degree in economics at Wisconsin University in 1950. Ken was active in his church, First United Methodist Church in Des Moines, a longtime member of the American Legion, and a former member of the Golden K Kiwanis. He enjoyed playing golf, traveling, attending elder hostels, and numerous trips to North Dakota to visit his son and grandchildren. He was an avid bridge player, a passionate sports fan, with his favorite teams being the ISU Cyclones and the Chicago Cubs, who he finally got to watch win the World Series in 2016. He also enjoyed managing the family farm in Crawford County, Denison, Iowa. Ken was an accomplished after-dinner speaker, giving a speech in every county in the state of Iowa. In September 1949, Ken married Elaine Scarcliffe. They had two adopted children, daughter Linda and son William. Ken's funeral will be at 11 a.m. Wednesday, December 2nd at Westover Chapel in Des Moines. The family will greet friends 1 hour prior to the service. Interment will take place at West Haven Cemetery, West Des Moines, with military honors. Newton. Dr. Jonathan Lee Fudge, 59, of Newton, passed away peacefully on November 22nd, surrounded by his family after a courageous 17-month battle against an aggressive adenocarcinoma. John was born in Iowa City on March 2, 1961. He lived briefly in Iowa City, Atlantic, Newton, and Cedar Rapids before his family resettled in Newton in 1968. He attended Newton High School in 1979. John participated in band, choir, and played basketball. Standing at 6'8", John loved to dunk the basketball and gained notoriety by shattering the glass backboard with a two-handed dunk before a school dance. John was an Eagle Scout, and his father, Cliff, was a scoutmaster for his troop for many years. John met the love of his life, Mary Kathleen Murphy, in ninth grade Latin class at Central Junior High. They were married at Sacred Heart Catholic Church in Newton on July 28, 1984. Following in the footsteps of his grandfather, Charles Thatcher, John was a lifelong Hawkeye fan. He attended the University of Iowa, first earning a bachelor's degree in pharmacy in 1984, then a doctorate of pharmacy in 1989, and finally a doctorate in medicine from the Iowa College of Medicine in 1992. Graduated second in his medical school class with honors in all areas except obstetrics. Those babies are too slippery. His passion for medicine was evidenced by the numerous awards he collected, including the Cooper Award in Biology, the W.R. Ingram Award for Superior Achievement in Medical Neuroscience, the Roe Kai Honor Society, and the prestigious John and Orville Seblin Award for Excellence in Internal Medicine as a senior medical student. After completing medical school, John went on to an internal medicine residency at Iowa Methodist Medical Center in Des Moines from 1992 to 1995, culminating with being named Outstanding Senior Medical Resident. After residency, he returned to Iowa City to complete a cardiology fellowship at the University of Iowa, earning the Cardiology Fellows Abstract Award from the American Heart Association in 1997. John practiced as a cardiologist for the Iowa Clinic from 1998 through 2020. He also served as clinical adjunct professor at the University of Iowa School of Medicine, Carver College of Medicine, Department of Internal Medicine. He lived in Urbandale before moving back to his hometown of Newton in 2014. A born teacher, John savored educating the residents and medical students. He loved his patients and strived to treat them as if they were part of his family. Making a personal connection with them was important to him, it was as important as assisting them medically. He strived to be a role model to his patients through healthy eating and regular exercise. He was a runner for several years, switching to bicycling after he wore out his knees. The pinnacle of his cycling career was completing the Triple Bypass bicycle ride in Colorado in 2018, a one-day 120-mile ride, summiting three mountain passes with over 10,000 feet of elevation gain. John was a regular RAGBRAI participant and would have been seen riding a daily nostalgic 25-mile route around Newton. A private celebration of life will take place, and due to COVID-19 restrictions, a Facebook Live broadcast of the service will begin at 10:30 a.m. on Friday, November 27th, and may be viewed on the Wallace Family Funeral Home and Crematory Facebook page. In lieu of flowers, memorial contributions may be made in John's memory to the University of Iowa to benefit the general scholarship funds of both the College of Medicine and the College of Pharmacy. Contributions can be made payable to the University of Iowa Center of Advancement. Des Moines. Claire Cole, 92, passed away November 20th of natural causes at Wesley Acres Retirement Community, where she was living. Memorial services will be held in the spring of 2021 when it is safe to gather. Claire Geneva Anderson Cole was born in Sioux City, Iowa on April 27, 1928 to David Edmund and Ella Sarah Anderson. She was a graduate of Sioux City Central High School and attended Iowa State University, where she met Richard Cole Jr. They married October 4, 1947 and eventually moved to the Urbandale Des Moines community on November 1, 1957, where they raised their three children, Steve, Catherine, and Sally. After her children entered school, Claire began her long career in banking, beginning with Brenton Banks, which eventually became Norwest, then Wells Fargo. Beloved by customers and co-workers alike, she started as a teller, and through her hard work and tireless dedication, she finished her career as assistant vice president in the mortgage loan department. Claire was still an active member of the Tri Delta sorority. She volunteered at Wesley Acres gift shops and enjoyed participating in Wesley life. As a skilled bridge player, she loved playing with various groups, including at the Senior Center. Claire will be remembered for her kindness to others and peaceful demeanor. When differing in an opinion, she would say, "There is no solution. Seek it lovingly." Claire's greatest gift to her family was her unconditional love and support. Always kind and mindful of others, Claire lived her life with a wonderful, effortless grace and will be missed and remembered fondly by all who had the good fortune to know her. Windsor Heights. Robert Jean Pizzali, 79, of Windsor Heights, passed away at home on November 27th. He was born on July 18, 1941, in Madrid, Iowa, to Frank and Mildred. He was preceded in death by his parents and his wife. Bob retired from National Travelers Life Insurance Company after 42 years of service, and was also a school bus driver for West Des Moines Public Schools for many years. Bob was known to his family as Mr. Fix-It, as he had many talents and skills in repairing cars, appliances, etc. He's always there to be of help for his family and friends. Bob will always be the everyday, every moment companion of our hearts. A graveside service will be held at 10:30 a.m. Tuesday, December 1st at Glendale Cemetery in Des Moines. In lieu of flowers, memorial contributions may be made to the family in Bob's name to be given to his favorite charities. Johnston. Ramona Grace Porter, 87, of Johnston, Iowa, died peacefully on Tuesday, November 24th at Iowa Methodist Medical Center. Ramona was born the daughter of Glenn and Georgia McLaughlin on February 11, 1933 in Runnels. Ramona worked as a registered nurse and a caregiver her entire life. She was a proud graduate of the nursing program at Methodist Hospital in Des Moines and used her passion for helping others to improve the lives of everyone she met. She was happily married for over 50 years to her beloved husband, Gene, and the two could often be found sharing a pizza at Noah's Ark Restaurant or cheering on the Iowa Hawkeyes. An avid reader and a great listener, Ramona was never judgmental and could always be counted on to stand up for friends and family, including her cherished brothers and sisters. Ramona also had a passion for flowers, which was passed down to her by her mother, and loved to travel when she could. Her greatest love, though, was for her children and granddaughters. Whether they were on the court or in the classroom, Ramona cheered them on and was always there to support their accomplishments. Graveside service will be held at Iowa Veterans Cemetery in Van Meter, and she will be buried with husband, the love of her life. Memorial contributions may be directed to the Mosaic Axtell, P.O. Box 67 at Axtell, Nebraska, 68924. Marilyn Ann McIntyre, 85, passed away Wednesday, November 25th at Bishop Drum Care Center in Johnston, Iowa. Services will be held in the spring due to the current COVID restrictions. Please note the service information will be updated at islescares.com when the date is announced. Marilyn was born August 3, 1935 in Des Moines to Frank and Emma Mihalovic. Marilyn was a homemaker her whole life, but she was also a farm wife. She grew up as a city girl, but learned to become a farm wife and could do everything she needed to. She did work for a time at Principal Financial Group as an administrative assistant and also drove a school bus for a time. The most important part of life to Marilyn was her family. She was a family cheerleader and was always there to cheer her kids and grandkids on any event they were part of. Marilyn loved to have family gatherings, especially during the holidays. Christmas was a special time for her and her family to get together and spend time with each other. Contributions may be made to the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Our next one in Des Moines. Victor Gerald Scott, 76, passed away Friday, April 10th at Iowa Methodist Medical Center in Des Moines. Vic was born July 12, 1943 in Des Moines to Royal and Alma Scott, the third of four sons. He graduated from Tech High School in January of 1962. After high school, he began working at Phil Johnson's Greenhouse in Des Moines and went on to work at Heard Gardens in Johnston for 21 years. He and his son Todd opened Vic Scott Landscaping and Nursery in the spring of 1990 in Ankeny. Vic was a member of the Prince of Peace Lutheran Church. Vic was a member of the Iowa Nursery and Landscape Association for over 50 years and was a past president in 1988. Vic married Linda Ellsworth on September 14, 1963. Together they had their only child, Todd, in February of 1965. A celebration of life will be held at 10 a.m. on Saturday, December 5th at Hamilton's near Highland Memory Gardens in Des Moines, with visitation held 1 hour prior to the service. If guests are unable to attend the service in person, they are invited to watch the service virtually through the live stream link in his obituary on Hamilton's website. In lieu of flowers, memorial contributions may be made to Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in Des Moines, Iowa. Paul McClanahan, 75, passed away at home on November 23rd. A memorial service will take place at a later date. Paul was born June 29, 1945, to Vincent and Eleanor McClanahan. He grew up in Mitchellville. Paul graduated from UNI with his master's degree and spent his career teaching industrial arts in Des Moines at Weeks Junior High and North High School. He was an expert craftsman and loved spending his time in his woodshop building projects for the family, and as well as being outdoors in his yard and garden. Memorials may be directed to the charity of your choice. West Des Moines, Chad Christian Larson, 40, passed away after a short but heroically brave fight with an unexpected terminal illness, Tuesday, November 24th. A limited attendance service will be held at 2 p.m. Tuesday, December 1st at Isles Grandview Park Chapel. Guests are encouraged to wear their favorite sports gear, no St. Louis Cardinals. A live stream of the service will be available on Child's Obituary page at www.islescares.com beginning at 1:45 on the 1st. Due to limitations of the number of attendees allowed at the service, the family will receive guests from 12 to 1:30 p.m. in a drive-up visitation. Masks will be required to enter the building. The line begins under the awning. Please wait in line in your vehicle until you are invited inside by the aisle staff. Chad was born March 16, 1980 in Des Moines to Michael and Reba Larson. He married the love of his life, Amy, on July 3, 2014 on a beautiful beach in Jamaica. Our next one is from Des Moines. Dorothy Penicky, 86, passed away November 20th at her home. Dorothy was born January 16, 1934 in Liberty, Iowa to Leland and Fern Carnes. She retired as a medical assistant from the GYOB MD's PC in 1994 after 22 years. She will be remembered as a loving mother and grandmother. Dorothy always worried about her family and wanted the best for them. She enjoyed scrapbooking, gardening, and working in her yard. She loved looking at family photos, playing bingo on her iPad, and spending time with her family. A private graveside service will be held at Highland Memory Garden Cemetery. Memorial contributions may be directed to Hope Ministries. Des Moines. Mary Gorham Barfield, 88, passed away Saturday, November 21st at Wesley Acres in Des Moines. Mary was born in Mason City, Iowa on February 19, 1932 to Clara and Melvin Gorham. In 1950, upon graduation from high school, she moved to Des Moines to attend Open Bible College, where she met and married Marvin Barfield of Greeleyville, South Carolina. They were married for 58 years before Marvin's death in 2011 and raised 4 children together. Mary worked for more than 30 years as a bookkeeper for Open Bible Standard churches. She served for many years as church pianist for her beloved church, Fort Des Moines Open Bible, where she and Marvin were members since the 1950s. Mary's children wish to extend their heartfelt thanks to her kind caregivers these last few years at Wesley Acres Adult Daycare Center, a hospice home care and nursing facility. A special debt of gratitude for the loving care and comfort given to Mary by our hospice nurse, Patty Nance, a truly exceptional person. The family will have a small private burial service at West Haven Cemetery due to the pandemic. Friends and families are warmly welcome to leave their online condolences and remembrances of Mary at hamiltonsfuneralhome.com, where there will also be photos to enjoy of Mary's long and joyful life. Norwalk, Norma Jane Harper died peacefully on Thursday morning, November 26. She currently resided at Regency Assisted Living in Norwalk, Iowa. Jane was born on March 23, 1929, to Joseph L. and Maisie Spick in Wick, Iowa. She was adored by her children, Tom, Greg, and Monica, and lived a full and wonderful life. No services are planned at this time. Maxwell. Richard Dick Burns, 77, of Maxwell, died Friday, November 27, at Taylor House Hospice in Des Moines. A visitation will begin at 11 a.m. on Saturday, December 5th, at the Rasmussen Ryan Funeral Home in Maxwell. Due to COVID-19, numbers will be limited inside the building at one time. A graveside service will follow at 1 p.m. at the Maxwell Cemetery, with Pastor Adrian McMullen officiating. Rasmussen Ryan Funeral Home in Maxwell is handling arrangements. Indianola. Daryl Else, 78, passed away at Taylor House Hospice on November 21st. Visitation will be held from 5 to 6:30 p.m. Monday, November 30th at Hamilton Southtown Funeral Home, at which the family will not be present. A graveside service will be held at 10:30 a.m. Tuesday, December 1st at the Norwalk Cemetery. For those unable to attend the graveside service in person, the family invites you to join them virtually through the link in his obituary found at Hamilton's website. Our next one, Carlisle. Merle Utzler, 97, passed away peacefully on Monday, November 23rd at Mercy Medical Center in Des Moines. Merle is survived by his wife of 70 years, Joanne. Memorials can go to the family or to the Animal Rescue League in Iowa in Merle's name. Due to COVID-19, there will be no service at this time. Memorial service will take place in the spring. Online condolences may be made at www.petersonfuneralservice.com. Des Moines. Frank Joseph Pontiso succumbed to cancer and passed into the arms of our Lord on Tuesday, November 17th, at his home, surrounded by family. He was a family man, war veteran, American patriot. Words can hardly begin to properly celebrate Frank's long and fulfilling life. Frank was born on July 24th, 1924, to Giacomo and Maddalena Pontiso, Italian immigrants from the Friuli Venezia region. The eldest of four children, Frank loved to tell stories of his youth, growing up on the south side of Des Moines. At that time, the south side community had a large Italian-American population, and the Pontiso family was close with their extended family and non-family relatives in the area. Despite their regional differences and variations in dialects, this Italian immigrant community was indelibly unified through their shared culture, faith, and desire to build a better life for themselves and their families. When the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, America's youth answered the call to the war effort. Frank was no different. Shortly after enlisting in the United States Marine Corps, Frank was stationed at Camp Pendleton, where his company trained for an upcoming offensive campaign in the Pacific. Frank's company, Charlie Company, 1st Battalion, 28th Regiment, 5th Marine Division, was the first to land on Iwo Jima. While on the island, he witnessed the iconic moment of the raising of the American flags on Mount Suribachi, made famous by the photographer Joe Rosenthal. He survived 12 days on the island until he was wounded and lost his right arm, earning him the Purple Heart. However, it can be said that Frank never let his physical disability stop him from living his life to the fullest. Upon returning home from war, Frank met the love of his life, Bonnie, on a blind date set up by mutual friends. After 3 years of dating, they got married on August 16, 1952. As a result of this union, Frank became an integral part of a large and loving Thornton clan. Frank and Bonnie were blessed with three daughters, one granddaughter, and a devoted son-in-law. Frank was married for 54 years until Bonnie's untimely passing on July 6, 2006. They shared many wonderful times in their long marriage, but three things stand out: love of family, love of travel, and going to polka dances. Frank was a small businessman in the auto parts industry for over 40 years. His store, Frank's Auto Supply, used to be located on the corner of Hickman and Merle Hay Road. Retirement didn't stop Frank from remaining active. He continued bowling, doing yard work, growing peppers, visiting relatives, attending dinners at the VFW Post 9662 and the Italian Culture Center, and participating in family reunions, all while living independently in his own home up until the end. He took particular joy in repairing anything that was broken, often with the support and companionship of his nephew, Bruce Warner. Frank even continued to travel in his later years. In July 2006, shortly after Bonnie passed, Frank embarked on his third trip to Italy to visit relatives and was accompanied by Deborah and Christina. Frank also spent most of his winters in Florida with Diane and son-in-law Jack Gustafson. He even made it to Washington, D.C. to participate in his beloved granddaughter's wedding in July of 2017. In March 2015, the Greatest Generations Foundation invited Frank to travel back to Iwo Jima to commemorate the 70th anniversary of the island campaign. Frank was 90 years old at the time, but that wasn't going to stop him. Prior to departing, the Des Moines Register published an article about Frank's upcoming trip and interviewed him. The Pontiso family wishes to thank all those who knew, loved, befriended, or supported Frank. Unfortunately, the family regrets that the celebration of life of Frank will not be convened in the way we would have wanted due to the coronavirus pandemic. There will be no visitation or funeral mass at this time. A private burial service for the immediate family will be held at Glendale Cemetery on Monday, November 30th. The Pontiso family will schedule a memorial service and a celebration of life event befitting this amazing man once it is safe to do so. Donations in Frank's honor can be made to Operation Meatball, a veteran support group headed by Liberty Phillips, who met Frank on Iwo Jima in 2015 and maintained contact with him over the years. The goal of this nonprofit organization is to honor veterans and connect them with the youth of today. Another option is to have a mass said in Frank's memory or to make a donation to St. Mary's of Nazareth Catholic Church. Beaverdale. Nita Gertrude White, 89, passed away Friday, November 20th at Eden Crest at Beaverdale in Des Moines. A graveside service will be held in the future. Nita was born August 28, 1931 in Osceola to Herschel and Gertrude Fitzpatrick. Online condolences will be welcomed at islescares.com. West Des Moines. Verl N. Sims, 93, passed away November 21st. He was born July 22, 1927, to Charles and Cora Sims and resided in Des Moines for most of his life. Verl was a Des Moines firefighter for 45 years before retiring in 1992. He also owned Sims TV Repair for many years. Private graveside services will take place Friday, December 4th at Iowa Veterans Cemetery. A celebration of life service will be held at a later date. Memorials may be directed to the American Heart Association or Valley United Methodist Church. Pleasant Hill. Karen Davis Mason Kubi, age 77, died November 25th in her home in Pleasant Hill, Iowa. A drive-through visitation will be held from 5 to 7 p.m. Thursday, December 3rd at Isles Grandview Park Funeral Home, Des Moines. Graveside services will be held 11 a.m. Saturday, December 5th at Milburn Cemetery, Wadsworth, Illinois. In lieu of flowers, the family suggests donations to the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Foundation or the ARL. An expanded obituary may be found at islescares.com. Northfield, Minnesota. Henrietta Nelson of Northfield died on Monday, November 23rd at the Northfield Retirement Community, Northfield, Minnesota, at the age of 96. Henry, as she was known, was born on May 24, 1924 in Des Moines to Hans and Anna Hillstead. She attended Wallace Elementary School and East High School there. After graduating from St. Olaf College in Northfield, she moved to Houston, Minnesota, where she taught home economics at Houston High School and later became the school librarian. In Houston, she met and married Maynard Nelson, who preceded her in death. She later moved to Northfield. They had a son, Fritz, of Minneapolis, who together with his wife, Minna, and their son, Alex, and daughter, Christina, survive her. Interment will be private. A memorial gathering will be planned for a future date. Memorials may be given to St. Olaf College, Cross of Christ Lutheran Church in Houston, Minnesota, or the Minnesota Orchestra. Arrangements by the Bierman Funeral Home and Crematory. Ankeny. Carl B. Polderack, 79, of Ankeny, passed away November 25th. Funeral services will be held 10:30 a.m. Tuesday, December 1st, at Our Ladies of Immaculate Heart Church in Ankeny. Visitation will be held Monday, November 30th, from 5 to 7 p.m. at Memorial Services of Iowa Funeral Home. Carl was a devoted husband, father, and grandfather. He was a devout Catholic, an honorable veteran, a giving friend and neighbor, a diehard Green Bay Packers fan, and the most honest and hardest worker of those who knew him. And you can go online and read more at memorialservicesofiowa.com. Scottsdale, Arizona. Gerald M. Kirk, Jr., beloved son, brother, father, and uncle, passed away on November 19 at his home in Scottsdale, Arizona. Gary Jr., 48, is the eldest son of Gerald M. Kirk, Sr. and Joan Bing Kirk, who passed away in 2009. A celebration of life memorial mass was held on November 23rd at the Conventual Church of Our Lady of the Angels at the Franciscan Renewal Center in Scottsdale. Gary Kirk, Sr. said, "Our family is deeply saddened by this unexpected and tragic loss. Words will never adequately express how much we love him and miss him. We thank our family and friends for their love and support during this time of mourning and remembrance." Born on December 11, 1971 in Evanstown, Illinois, Gary Jr. moved to Des Moines in 1973 when his father started Kirk Van Ortsel, Inc. He grew up in Des Moines, attending St. Augustine School and graduating from Dowling Catholic High School in 1990. Though raised in Iowa, Gary Jr. and his siblings have enjoyed a special bond with history and the creation of the United States as descendants of one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence through their mother, Joan. After graduating from high school, he entered the University of Iowa and earned a bachelor's degree with the College of Business. He moved to Scottsdale after college, where he pursued a number of business interests, including commercial real estate, technology, and entertainment. Gary Jr. married Andrea Lucas in 2009, and together they had three children, Jack, 11, Aspen, 10, and Kendall, 9, all of whom live in Scottsdale. Although he and Andrea divorced, Gary Jr. remained a devoted parent and took pride in bringing his children to Iowa for holidays and to Okoboji for the summers. Gary Jr.'s friends and family remember how his laughter filled the room. He also loved to meet new people and exhibited an enduring penchant for bestowing nicknames. You may have met him for the first time, and after an hour of conversation, you would have a nickname forever, his sister Jonna remembered. As well as being an investor in some of the enterprises led by his father, Gary Jr. loved horse racing. After going to his first Kentucky Derby in 2003, he caught the fever, learning all he could about the sport. He has been a 13-year partner in Donegal Racing, started by Jerry Crawford, a Des Moines lawyer and longtime friend of the family. He represented Donegal ownership in 2012 in a television interview about Dullahan, which had run third in the 2012 Kentucky Derby. Memorials may be directed to Variety, the Children's Charity of Iowa. Robert D. Wiest, aged 91, passed away peacefully on November 18 in Overland Park, Kansas. He was a well-known trumpet player in the Des Moines community and beyond and brought joy to every occasion. Born in Waukesha, Wisconsin, to Donald and Catherine. He was a self-taught trumpet player, and as early as 15, he was playing for speakeasies and dance gigs throughout the Midwest, sending his earnings home to support his family during the Great Depression. He earned degrees from the University of Wisconsin, the University of Arizona, where he met his wife, Janice, and later studied with Maurice André at the Paris Conservatory in France. After serving his draft in the Army, they settled in Des Moines in 1956 while Bob began his tenure at Drake University. As a professor of music for 36 years, he led and supported the Drake Jazz Band, Marching Band, and annual Jazz Spectacular, hosting such greats as Buddy Rich, Dizzy Gillespie, and Maynard Ferguson. He was the leader of the Bob Wiest and the Swinging Big Band, a member of the Des Moines Symphony Orchestra, and performer for countless shows through the years, including Holiday on Ice, Barnum and Bailey Circus, Civic Center performances, the Iowa State Fair, and Jazz in July. He was especially proud of his role as soloist and director of music for Pope John II's 1979 visit to Living History Farms. He received Drake's Distinguished Service Award, was inducted in the Des Moines Hall, Jazz Hall of Fame, and earned the distinction of being included in the publication Trumpet Greats, a Biographical Dictionary. Bob wrote and published several works, including Brass Performance, an analytical text, Keys to Natural Performance, and Famous Trumpet Players. He also founded the first national brass instrument periodical, Brass World. An avid environmentalist, Bob raised bees and silk moths for many decades. He co-authored Wild Silk Moths of the United States and wrote countless articles for several publications, including the Iowa History Journal and the American Bee Journal. He and Janice set aside their Johnston, Iowa property to the National Wildlife Federation. Active and well-loved members of Holy Trinity Church, Bob and Janice contributed their musical talents to the weekly masses and other events for decades. Bob also offered his time and talents to many charities, including a girls' orphanage in Reynosa, Mexico, and Iowans for Life. He donated all proceeds from his Sunny sales and CD sales to charities in the community. The family would like to extend a special thanks to Joe and Martha Weinhock for their friendship, compassion, and care of Bob over the past few months. Due to COVID concerns, a celebration of life service will be held at Holy Trinity Catholic Church in Beaverdale at a later date. And that was our last obituary for today, Sunday, November 29th. We'll now move to the Dear Abby. And our first letter is, Dear Abby, I have been married to my husband for 38 years. Our two children are adults now. Our older son has had the same girlfriend for 11 years, but my in-law still will not accept her because they are not married, so they don't include her in some family functions. How can I let them know in a nice way that she is family to me? Even my husband doesn't regard her as family. I understand some people are that way, but I was raised by a mother who saw all of our friends and boyfriends and girlfriends as family, even after some were divorced. I feel like skipping these family functions if my children and their girlfriends are not included. What can I do? Signed, Inclusive in Oklahoma. And Abby responds, Dear Inclusive, your in-laws have a right to their opinions, and so do you. Listen to your heart. If it is telling you that you would rather spend those times with your children and their girlfriends, go ahead and do it. I am assuming that the son who is involved in the long-term relationship would not be leaving his girlfriend home alone when these gatherings are held, because if that's the case after 11 years, she should dump him. Our next letter. Dear Abby, my sisters and I grew up in California. One of my sisters moved to Texas with her husband 29 years ago. Over the years, I've had to listen to her put California down. On the occasions when she visits, she never fails to mention how crowded it is, how the air is terrible, and how our government is a joke. Recently, she asked to come here for a visit, and I agreed. The next day, I got a text from her with an article attached about why California sucks. I am so irritated that I no longer want her to come next month. How do I handle this? Signed, Annoyed in California. And the response, Dear Annoyed, are you telling me you have tolerated your sister's jibes about our great state of California all this time without putting a stop to it? That woman has a lot of nerve. If she truly hates it here, why is she willing to come? Although California may have its natural disasters, a large homeless population, unhealthy air quality, scorching heat waves, and the promise of even higher taxes to come, other states are not without their challenges. Yet folks seem to want to immigrate to California in droves, judging by the traffic. The time has come to draw the line. Tell your sister you don't like her needling, and if she doesn't cut it out, her invitation will be rescinded. In our last letter, Dear Abby, for the last 20 years, I have been sending my four nieces and nephews birthday and Christmas cards with checks enclosed. They are adults now with jobs and families. How can I gently tell them that I wish to discontinue the checks in their cards? Signed, No More in Florida. And the reply, Dear No More, all you need to do is remind them, lovingly, that because they are adults now, with jobs and families of their own, you would like to exchange cards on special occasions rather than send money. Many parents do this when their children reach adulthood. And that brings us to the end of reading of the Des Moines Register for Sunday, November 29th. You can hear the show again at 6 p.m. and again at 1 a.m. Recordings are available on our website, iowaradioreading.com. All material heard in IRIS is intended for the use of Iowans who are print disabled. If you have any questions or comments, give us a call at 515-243-6833. You can also call toll-free from anywhere in Iowa at 1-877-404-4747. Once again, we want you to know that our program schedule has changed so that we can get as much information to as many listeners as possible. The Fort Dodge Messenger will be read at 7 a.m. Monday through Friday. The Mason City Globe Gazette will be read at 8 a.m. Monday through Friday. The Des Moines Register will continue to be read from 9 a.m. to noon. The Cedar Rapids Gazette will be read at noon 7 days a week. The Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier will be read at 1 p.m. 7 days a week. The Dubuque Telegraph Herald will be read at 2 p.m. Monday through Friday. The Council Bluffs Daily Nonpareil will be read at 3 p.m. Monday through Friday. The Sioux City Journal will be read at 4 p.m. 7 days a week. The Ames Tribune will be read at 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. The Midweek Shopping Cart will be read each Wednesday at 9 p.m. We will stay with this schedule until further notice. I'm Dagna, your reader today. It has been a pleasure to read for you. Stay tuned for today's reading of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. And thank you so much for listening to Your IRIS, Iowa's first and only radio reading service.